The Old Testament book of Daniel chapter 2, and we'll begin in verse 1. Daniel chapter 2, verse 1. Daniel chapter 2, verse 1 reads this way. It says, "In the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar dreamed dreams wherewith his spirit was troubled, and his sleep brake from him. Then the king commanded to call the magicians and the astrologers and the sorcerers and the Chaldeans for to show the king his dreams. So they came and stood before the king, and the king said unto them, I have dreamed a dream, and my spirit was troubled to know the dream. Then spake the Chaldeans to the king in Syriac, O king, live forever. Tell thy servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation. The king answered and said to the Chaldeans, the thing is gone from me. If you will not make known unto me the dream with the interpretation thereof, ye shall be cut in pieces, and your houses shall be made a dunghill. But if you show the dream and the interpretation thereof, ye shall receive of me gifts and rewards and great honor. Therefore show me the dream and the interpretation thereof." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne tonight. Lord, we ask for the blessing of your Holy Spirit to lead and guide our hearts into your truth. Lord, that we might worship you in truth and in spirit, that you might be glorified and our lives strengthened. Lord, that we might grow in your grace and in the faith that you've given to us to be the witness you've called us to be. And we'll praise and thank you, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message tonight is Setting the Record Straight. Setting the Record Straight. How would you like to have been given that ultimatum? Amen. Listen, If you'll give me the dream and the interpretation, because I don't know it, it'll be well with you. I'll give you gifts and do all these nice things. But if not, you're going to be cut in pieces. Wow. What a shocking situation to find yourself in. And this took place in history here, and this was happening to these magicians and astrologers and soothsayers. And so there was a problem there in the life of these people that did not know the Lord, but also we know that Daniel and his three friends were there that did know the Lord. They're getting ready to be in a situation as well. And so what I mean by the title tonight, Setting the Record Straight, is that only God reveals truth. Let's just set the record straight. God is the revealer of the truth. If God does not give us the truth, we will never find it. Listen, I thought before I got saved, I knew the truth. Oh no, not until I met the Lord Jesus Christ. It gave my life a 180 degree redirection in my heart, in my understanding, and for my future. What a great day that was when the Lord found me and I opened up my understanding to receive Him as my own Savior. Listen, I had heard the gospel message 3 years prior to that, and I said the right words, but there was no transforming work. And I've come to the conclusion of this, that I did not see myself as that bad a person. I didn't really think I was that horrible a person. And then all of a sudden, the Lord showed me, oh yeah, my sins have separated me, because I saw the Lord of glory high and lifted up, and His righteousness, oh my goodness, that changed everything. And so I want you to notice something here. If we back up just a little bit here to chapter 1 and look at verse 19, look what Nebuchadnezzar experienced from Daniel and the three Hebrew children. Look at Daniel chapter 1, verse 19, and it says, "And the king communed with them, and among them was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king. And in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all his realm." That's important. And it says, "And Daniel continued even unto the first year of King Cyrus." Now, isn't it amazing here? We're going to look at this king, and he's troubled. So we're looking at this troubled king. That's the first thought in the first three verses there. And what does he do? Where does he go? He just had a meeting not too long ago with
Daniel and these three Hebrew children that he found better than everybody in his whole realm. And look where he goes, verse 2 and chapter 2. Then the king commanded to call Daniel? The three Hebrew children? No, he calls the magicians and the astrologers and the sorcerers. Do you know, listen, when we're troubled, sometimes when we're looking to ourselves, we can be misdirected. And we can go from making a bad situation worse. You ever had that happen like to you? I had never had poison ivy in my life until I moved to Missouri. Never did. Never did. Now, listen, it exists in Florida, but I never had it before. And the first time I got it, I came home. I was renting a little house, and there was this vine that all of a sudden, it seemed like overnight, just grew up right by my front door. And I just happened to notice it. So I took that vine, and I pulled it like that and popped it like that and took care of that, didn't I? I took real good care of it because all of a sudden my right arm the next day had this rash. And this rash began to itch. So I itched it. I itched it good. And you know, the more I itched it, the better it felt. And then all of a sudden, I had no idea anything about poison ivy. So I didn't go wash my hands. So I don't know if I touched my neck or both my hands and touched my other. Then the next day, that thing spread. And I made a bad situation a whole lot worse because I did not know what I was dealing with. And I did not realize that rash can really move around. Amen? And sometimes problems can really move around. And that's what was happening here in the life of this king. And then I want you to see here these deceptive counselors. And the king calls them out on that. When we try to use the wisdom of this world, we will not find the truth. It won't work that way. You might get part of the truth. Notice what it says here in verse 4. Then spake the Chaldeans to the king in Syriac. That's Aramaic. That's their native tongue. And so sometimes if you speak multiple languages and you're with somebody that's from... So for example, if you were in a foreign country and you were maybe not as proficient as you are in English, a couple of things. First of all, when you come across another American, it's kind of like relief, right? It is. It's kind of like, oh, you know, someone from my country, and then honored, and it's easier to converse in that language. And sometimes it's a reminder that hey, we're both on the same side in the sense of we're both Americans. We both understand each other. We both understand our culture. And maybe it gains a little camaraderie there. Well, there's no doubt in my mind that these astrologers and magicians and soothsayers could see that the king was perplexed. And when the king is upset, nobody's safe. Amen? And so they thought, well, listen, let's talk to them in the Syriac language and we'll go ahead and build up a little camaraderie. Let them remind him that we're the same people here. And so notice what they said to him. They said, oh, king, live forever. So they're paying him homage there in verse 4. Tell thy servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation thereof. Notice how the king responds. Verse 5. The king answered and said unto the Chaldeans, the thing is gone from me. If you will not make known unto me the dream, with the interpretation thereof, you shall be cut in pieces, and your houses shall be made a dunghill. Question. What do you think was their thinking at that very moment? Remember, they talked to them in the Syriac language. Remember, they paid homage, oh, king, live forever. Maybe they thought for a brief moment they were getting an inroad to his heart. And then all of a sudden, they heard his decree, and no doubt, if their jaws didn't drop, their hearts sank, right? And so now they're thinking, man, we're in trouble here. And by the way, they were thinking, this king is not rational. Do you know that there are things that can enter our lives that do not appear to be rational? There are things that can enter into our life that would cause us to maybe fear and have concern and feel at our end. You know, there's no answer to be had. This problem just is too big for me to understand where the answer might be. And no doubt they felt that way. Then notice the king tells him a couple of things. And the counselors are being a little bit deceptive here. But look at verse 6. He says, "But if ye show the dream and the interpretation thereof, ye shall receive of me gifts and rewards and great honor. Therefore, show me the dream and the interpretation thereof." Now, one thing that they knew for sure, the king was not really concerned with bringing harm to their lives. His main concern was an answer for the dream that he had. And he did want their help. And he proved that by giving them a great reward if they could help him with that understanding. The problem was it was beyond their realm. The answer was beyond their reach. It could be reached, but not by their approach. So look what happens here. Verse 7, "They answered again and said, 'Let the king tell his servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation of it.'" When you're in trouble, sometimes you will repeat the same thing, hoping for a different outcome. Now, the king just told them, "The dream's gone from me." They already asked him. And now they're asking him again, "Tell us what it is." And they already asked that, did they not? And he says, "You can see it's gone from me. I don't know it." He would have given it, maybe. I don't know. But at this particular time, he says, "Listen, this is gone from me, and I don't have it. I need you to give me the dream and the interpretation." The king answered, verse 8, and said, "I know of a certainty," now he's looking at them a little differently, "that ye would gain the time because you see that the thing has gone from me." If you have an idea of the dream, he's saying, "I think you're going to tell me a story so that you can save your skin. I don't think you're necessarily going to give me the right interpretation." And really, he's right in that sense. But question, listen, it is troubling him, and it's important, and he's stressed out so much so that he cannot stop and say, "Wait a minute. There were four guys that were better than any of my other advisors or anybody that I would ever seek counsel from, but that is not entering in because he's stressed," right? Listen, it's important for you to realize that sometimes when we have a problem and when we're stressing about it, we won't find the answer. And we need to be reminded that God's our peace even in that midst of that situation. We don't have to be like those without Christ. One of the funniest things, I never do this. I can't do this. I guess I can. Okay. I never do that. One time, I was 16 years old. And I was working for this restaurant. And the boss came in, had to go somewhere, and he's looking for his glasses and asking people. I mean, he just came in, just started to ask people. And I did not have the wherewithal to tell him they were right on his forehead, because I did not want him to feel dumb. You know what I'm saying? I did not want him to feel dumb. Fortunately, somebody a little higher up, just a dishwasher, amen, somebody a little higher up told him, you know, it's on his, and he did, I mean, he turned a kaleidoscope of colors, okay, on his face. Because it was right there, but he had an appointment to make, and he couldn't get into his car without his glasses, and they were on top of his head. And listen, a lot of times the answer that we need is closer than we can ever even imagine, especially concerning our own life. It's right at the door. It's the Lord himself that will give us the answer. And so, and we'll see that here in just a moment. Look at verse 9. He says, "But if you will not make known unto me the dream, there is but one decree for you." He's very adamant about this. "For ye have prepared lying and corrupt words to speak before me till the time be changed. Therefore, tell me the dream, and I will know that ye can show me the interpretation thereof." That's fair enough. Hey, listen, if you're really an astrologer, if you're really a magician, that you can do these things. But they weren't. They could not do that. Now, I want you to see their reasoning and their rationale. Look what they say here in verse 10. "The Chaldeans answered before the king and said, 'There is not a man upon earth that can show the king's matter.'" Now, that is somewhat true, because it's not with man, But there was a man, wasn't there? And there was a young man named Daniel. Therefore, there is no king, Lord, nor ruler that asketh such things at any magician or astrologer or Chaldean. Now listen, they're desperate, and they're trying to reason with the king, but here's one thing the king may have thought. Well, I'm a king, and I just asked you. Amen? They just said, there's no king that would dare ask such a thing. Well, this king did, and he is not concerned with their rationalization. And so they're in trouble. So notice, in fact, they qualify it a little bit here in verse 11. It is a rare thing that the king requireth, and there is none other that can show it before the king except the gods whom dwelling is not with flesh. Now they're getting a little closer. One thing that they're saying is it's beyond our reach, because the idea of the gods is out there. But there is a God. Listen, isn't it great? Listen, there is a God that has been touched with our infirmities. There is a God that has experienced everything you and I will ever go through and understands. So here we have this situation, and now I want you to see, as we're going to move here, we're going to see the counsel and wisdom of God here. So notice what it says here. Verse 12, for this cause the king was angry and very furious and commanded to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. Man, this guy was so mad, he was cutting off his nose to spite his face, because the ones that did have the answer, he had just given the commandment to do them in. So now, ready? The lost world here and the wisdom of the lost world is up at arms. Their life has been flipped upside down. And their demise is short, right at the brink of their life here. And so verse 13, it says, and the decree went forth that the wise men should be slain. And they sought Daniel and his fellows to be slain. Did you hear that? They weren't looking for them to pat them on the back. They were looking for them to slay them. So I want you to see that Daniel had no idea this was coming. The king had a private meeting with the astrologers and with the soothsayers and with the Chaldeans. They're the only ones that know. The only thing that Daniel's going to be confronted with is the king's given the decree, you're all to be killed. Now, I don't know about you, but that would be an alarming telegram. Amen? That would be an alarming message to be received, because he wasn't doing anything, but the king was so mad, he says, we're going to wipe. Listen, the lost can do irrational things. May the children of God realize they have a God that will keep them and can keep them from being irrational. He was in such a strait that if he wiped out all those people, would he have gotten the answer he was looking for? It wouldn't have fixed his problem, but he was not rational. So now let's look at the counsel and wisdom of God here in verse 14. Then Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, which was gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. Did you hear that? Listen, what was his purpose? To just give them a notice? Oh no, he was supposed to slay them. This is Arioch. Now, that is devastating news all at once. There's no time. It is important for the child of God to look to the Lord continually for his wisdom. Because we may not be confronted with something as drastic as what Daniel was facing, but there are things that come to our life that God has the answers for. For sure, God has the peace. For sure, God has the stability and the understanding and the peace that passes understanding, that allows us to understand that God will work this out for his glory and for our good. So he answers him in verse 15. He answered and said unto Arioch, the king's captain. And now remember, he answered with counsel and wisdom. And we can be in a walk with the Lord that when a situation arises, we can answer as well with counsel and wisdom. So he says to Arioch in verse 15, the king's captain, why is the decree so hasty from the king? Then Arioch made the thing known unto Daniel. The king had this dream. It's bothering him. He doesn't remember it. And by the way, no doubt he had a relationship and was approachable, Daniel, with Arioch. And so Arioch is telling him. He could have just said, sorry, your heads, you know. Here, let's go, let's take care of this execution. But Arioch is explaining the situation, what happened to the king. Then notice what happens here. So after Arioch made the thing known to Daniel, verse 16, then Daniel went in and desired the king that he would give him time. So he's talking to the king now, and that he would show the king the interpretation. Daniel had an inroad directly to the king because the king had received him and the three Hebrew children. Better than any king on earth, you and I have an inroad, praise God, with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And may we realize that God holds every king in his hand. Every king. And that gives you and I as believers confidence to approach a problem and to not be fearful. And so, listen, Daniel was concerned, to say the least, to find the answer. But wait a minute. Question, ready? Listen. Who gave King Nebuchadnezzar this dream in the first place? You see how God is in control? And Daniel, because of his walk and fellowship with the Lord, understood that as well. So what happens here? So we find that Daniel says, okay, I'm going to the king. And then he said this. He said, if you'll just give me some time, you will get the dream and the interpretation of the dream. And Daniel knew how to get answers that he needed. So notice what happens here. What does he do? Verse 17. Then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they would desire, look at this, the mercies of God, of the God of heaven, concerning this secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. God, we need you. Question tonight, do you need the Lord for his direction, for his guidance? Daniel was dependent upon and counted on the Lord's wisdom and counsel and understanding. And here's one thing that Daniel knew. He wasn't going to the Lord. I want you to see his faith. The more we, listen, here's what we do as believers sometimes. I don't want to trouble God with that. Oh, we do ourselves a disservice. We do that. Because if we will approach the Lord to guide us on everything, even in the things that we know to do, still we approach the Lord, we honor God, and God will confirm and give us peace. And what we do is we will watch God even answer us in the things that we know, and God will bring a Holy Spirit confirmment that he is involved, confirming that he is guiding our lives even in those things that we know. And we will pick up this, that he might deviate a little bit. Sometimes we say, okay, I'm going to approach this thing that I'm familiar with, and this is the way I would approach it. And then the Lord might even introduce another idea that would enhance, listen, that we didn't even think about before. And then he will confirm, you know what, it was worth our while, even though we're familiar with how to do a certain thing, and God introduces another thought that enhances that and makes it even a better outcome than if we would have done it just by our own thinking. We can credit the Lord, we can glorify him, and we become more intertwined and dependent upon trusting God to give us the answers, and we give him thanks for everything. But if we don't approach him in the little things, then we're missing out on the experience of what God can reveal in our lives. And so, listen, I am convinced Daniel called upon the Lord every day. In fact, the Bible tells us three times a day. In the morning, in the afternoon, and in the evening, he sought the Lord for guidance. Now listen, Daniel was smarter than all the men, all the counselors that the king had. But one thing he knew, the wisdom came from God. But if we look to ourselves, we don't give God the credit. Now, God does give us an intellect, and we can function to a certain degree and operate without the counsel of God. But if we're not careful, we'll wind up like the astrologers and the soothsayers and at our wits' end sometimes. And frustrated because we've not experienced the open door that God gives us to come to Him for the answers that we need. And so, what happens here? He goes to his three friends, his companions, verse 18, that they would desire the mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. God does not want us to have fear and dismay like the world does. He doesn't want us to do that. So what happens? They get together. They have a prayer meeting. They call upon the Lord. Verse 19. What does that tell us? Now watch this. This counsel that Daniel and the three Hebrew children sought from the Lord turns into praise. Watch this answer here, verse 19. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Daniel gets the revelation. Now watch what happens. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. We miss the opportunity to bless the God of heaven when He gives us an answer that we didn't even think about. Daniel answered, verse 20, and said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are His. And He changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and the secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with Him. I thank Thee and praise Thee, O Thou God of my fathers, who hast given me wisdom and might, and hast made known unto me now what we desired of Thee, for Thou hast now made known unto us the king's matter." He had the answer. And before he ran into the King Nebuchadnezzar, he took time to praise God. So therefore, Daniel went into Arioch, whom the king had ordained to destroy the wise men of Babylon. He went and said thus unto him, "Destroy not the wise men of Babylon. Bring me in before the king, and I will show unto the king the interpretation." I wonder, I would dare say, Arioch probably did not want to destroy these people. Then Arioch, verse 25, brought in Daniel before the king in haste, and said thus unto him, "I have found a man of the captives of Judah that will make known unto the king the interpretation." Now, he knew who Daniel was. Remember, Daniel did go and talk to the king. Listen, there was excitement in Arioch's tone of voice, was there not? You know why? Listen, when the child of God is in fellowship with the Lord and answers are given, God wants us to share that with the world. God, listen, did you see that? The rejoicing of Daniel spread over to Arioch. Hey, we have found, we've got him. The answer to our problem here. So he brings him in. Verse 26, the king answered and said unto Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, "Art thou able to make known unto me the dream which I have seen and the interpretation thereof?" Now remember, he already gave the decree to kill everybody, all these wise people. But remember what I said earlier? His real concern, his first concern, he knew if he killed them, now he's got the potential for the answer that he was looking for. You see that? There was something more important than destroying these people in his frustration, and that was, to him, this answer. May I tell you something? God has put a void in the heart of every human being that only He can fill. They may get mad at God. They may say a whole lot of different things. But really, the real thing that people are looking for is the answer to what life is really all about. What a dismal outlook to think that this is all we have, a mere 70, 80, or 90 years, or 100 years, and then that's it. People don't really believe that. People can look around and see how intricate creation is. Have you ever looked at a leaf under a microscope? Man, it's amazing. You know, you look at this microbiology and you see how intricate all of the unseen things are, but the naked, that you can't see with the naked eye. It's like a whole other world. God authored that. It all works in harmony. It's not haphazard, and sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. If it's all healthy and in good health, it works exactly the way God had ordained it. So, Daniel, verse 27, answers in the presence of the king and said, "The secret which the king had demanded cannot the wise men, the astrologers and the magicians and the soothsayers show unto the king." They can't do it. Now, Daniel wasn't trying to puff himself up. Do you know what he was saying? The answer is not in the world. The answer is not of men. The answers to life come from God. He says, verse 28, he doesn't build himself up. He says, "But there is a God in heaven." Amen? When there's a problem, it can be turned for the glory of God with the answer. "But there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets," verse 28, "and maketh known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. Thy dream and the visions of thy head upon thy bed are these. As for thee, O king, thy thoughts came into thy mind upon thy bed, what should come to pass hereafter. And he that revealeth secrets maketh known to thee what shall come to pass. But as for me, this secret is not revealed to me for any wisdom that I have more than any living, but for their sakes that shall make known the interpretation to the king, and that thou mightest know the thoughts of thy heart." Now, I'm not going to go through this interpretation here, but I want you to see that he's saying, hey, listen, it's not because of me. It's because of God. And he, you know what Daniel is doing by the grace of God? He is setting the record straight. That the answer to our problems is not in the hand of man. The answers to all of our problems, to all of our needs, are in the hand of God. And praise God that we have a merciful God and a loving God that wants us to have the answers to life. And God says, if you will seek me, what did he say? You'll what? Find me. Isn't that good? And if you'll call upon me, I will answer. And the best thing, listen, he says, and I will show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Now, if we'll take hold of that by faith, we won't have any problem. Lord, I've gotten up this day like I've done many days before, but I'm going to call on you today, Lord, because I know that you know everything that I'm going to confront, and I'm going to ask you to guide me, not to do it the way that I would do it, but that you would guide me, that everything I do would honor and glorify you. And there may be some fine-tuning adjustments along that day that God will flood into your mind, and he will, that you will see it was worth your while and my while to call upon him. Very easy to go throughout many days and not call upon the Lord. But what happens is we miss out on the experience of our God's, listen, great faithfulness to you and I. So tonight God says, keep the record straight. Everything you need comes from your loving Heavenly Father that will surpass and surprise and awe you if we'll just but ask. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word, for your wisdom. And Lord, I pray that you would help us not to lean to our own understanding, but that we might acknowledge and call upon you in all our ways. Lord, may you be honored and glorified in our lives. May you remind us each and every day this new week to call upon you for guidance, wisdom, and understanding, and that everything that we do and say would be done by your grace, that you might be glorified, Lord, that we would be drawn closer to you, and that we would point the world and those that we love to you. Bless, Lord, the rest of the evening, this new week that we have, and may you be honored and glorified in it. For we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.